Neighbors.
Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland,
New York,
New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa, Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Great Lake Tahoe,
Old Key West,
Riviera,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to
my
Hello and welcome to the DVC Newscast. We are on episode 152. It's coming up on Thanksgiving and we got a lot to be thankful for. And first of all, I'm thankful for my co-host today, and that's Sue. Welcome, Sue. How are you doing?
Thanks, Pete. I'm doing great, and I am thankful for being here on your show.
It's not my show, it's our show. But Shannon isn't with us tonight, but Sue is able to join. And I just got back from vacation, so it's been a little while since we had a show. A couple big things dropped last week that we're going to be talking about. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to get right to it as soon as we thank our sponsor.
We want to give a shout out to our sponsor, DVC Resale Market. If you are in the market for a DVC resale contract, or maybe for some reason you want to sell your existing contract, definitely hit up our friends at the DVC Resale Market.
And with that, we're going to get into our stories. And the first one happens every year. The new 2025 dues were released. That happened on November 21st, which again was last week. I was on a cruise, so I couldn't see it at the time because I didn't have the internet package. But overall, nothing really surprising here. Some of them are on the high side. Most of it's between 4 and 6%. Couple of them in the 5 to 6% range. I always think of like above 5 as being a little high. So there's a number of Walt Disney World resorts that were on that higher end of the range. I'm not going to go through every single one of these. There's too many resorts now to do that with. A couple odd, somewhat unusual things to note is two of them prices actually went down. One was the Fort Wilderness Cabins, went down by 2.5%. Not sure why that happened. I guess they maybe overcalculated some kind of cost, and on the recalculation, they were able to adjust it down. And the other one that went down quite a bit, Polly, went down 3.7%. Yeah. And now we have a pretty good indication why. Basically, because of the new tower, they're spreading the cost of the some of the operations of the resort across the new units. So by spreading that across the new units and the old units, things like transportation don't necessarily become that much more expensive. So some of those costs do go down when that happens. I don't think the same thing happened when the Grand Floridian, when they did Big Pine Key. I don't think it went down, but I think it was a very small increase that year. So
correct.
That's not unsurprising. The other thing to note, Riviera only went up 2.3%. So that was the lowest percent on the East Coast, and both of the West Coast resorts only went up about 3%. So maybe there was a bigger tax hike in Florida that caused the rates to go higher. Anything surprising here to you, Sue, or, you know, that you wouldn't expect to see?
Not really. I mean, it's pretty typical of going up the 4 to 6%. Mine went up. I have Old Key West, and that went up a little bit higher. But you have to look at the upkeep's gone up. The cast salaries have gone up slightly. Mm-hmm. And just the insurance right now. I mean, insurance in Florida is higher. So that's an additional cost.
That could be part of it.
In there. Yep. But the nice thing is it's not as high as what room rates typically go up at Disney World, plus the resort tax that you'd have to pay if you were just a guest staying on property.
Yeah, I recently played around with, I actually looked back at my original calculations when I bought in, because it's been just over 10 years, and how I calculated. I said, okay, I'm going to say everything's going to go up by 5%. I'm going to assume base room prices, 5%, dues, 5%, everything like that. And what was amazing was the calculations I made for a value resort and a moderate resort, the mm-hmm. weekly prices that I calculated at the time and estimated 10 years later, I was within, for the week, I was within a few hundred dollars of what the price went up to in that year. And my dues price, I was also really, really close. Just saying, oh, it's going to average 5% a year. And it did. But what you see is that like a moderate resort versus what you're paying in dues, it started higher, right? So like
right.
at the time, 10 years ago, staying at a moderate was maybe $225 a night or something like that. And the dues I was paying were, you know, $6 a point or something like that. Well, yeah, my dues are now up to nine something for my Animal Kingdom Lodge points. But when you look at how much that those 5% increases in a moderate resort's almost $400 a night now.
Correct.
So yeah. I'm still paying less than $200, you know, back then I was paying like $125 a night to stay at Animal Kingdom in a standard view, or maybe at the right season Savannah view. And now I'm paying, you know, more, but I'm still paying way less than what I would have been paying for a moderate based on what I spent.
My dues for the new proposed dues for Old Key West are at $10.50 a point. And when you look at that, you know, yes, it's gone up since I bought it in 1991. However, if I stay in September right after Labor Day, I like to go over there and I stay in a studio at 10 points a night. So 10 times $10.50, that's $105 a night is what I'm really paying for that room.
Yeah.
Because I've gotten my original price that I paid. I broke even a long time ago.
Yeah. And that's the thing with my calculations were like right about now is when I broke even on that initial purchase. But now it's not just gravy. It's like multiplying gravy.
Right.
So I start really profiting from having bought DVC all those years ago, in that now I'm saving $2,000-$3,000 a year on that versus what it would have cost to stay. It really is a long-term investment, but if you think about your vacation, and as I said, and I'm just comparing it to, I was just comparing it to a moderate. I wasn't comparing it to
a deluxe
resort.
Yeah.
If you stay deluxe, boy, is it cheaper to own DVC, because those resorts are, and even there, I think I used Beach Club or something like that, which isn't the highest of them, believe it or not. I mean, that's like getting to the, I didn't go like Poly or Grand Floridian, but yeah, I mean, Beach Club, you're not staying now under $500-$600 a night
easily,
you know, on a cash reservation. And I'm still, same thing, Boardwalk, and I'm still paying $200 a night at Boardwalk. So anyways, I didn't want to turn this into an ad for DVC Resale Market, but hey, I'm sure they don't mind.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, being a member for over 30 years, I've enjoyed every minute of it. And it doesn't bother me to make a reservation because I know I'm staying in a fantastic place for a fraction of the cost. Sometimes I've given it to nieces, nephews for a vacation, and they look at the list price of it, the rack rates, and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she's paying this much. It's like, nope, it's points.
You're right. I'm not giving you that nice a gift.
No.
It's nice, but not that nice.
I'm a good app, but not that good.
Right. I think everybody expects this. It's out there right now. If you want to look at what your resort went up by, there's plenty of sources. As I said, our show notes will have it as well. And nothing really super out of the ordinary other than seeing that Poly one go down. That's a little unusual, but we kind of understand why. So
definitely.
Should we move on to our next story?
Yeah. So they've released some more information on the DVC Lounge in Magic Kingdom. DVC has announced that the member lounge in Magic Kingdom will be opening in summer of 2025. So next summer, it's going to be named McKim's Mile House, a DVC lounge. The name is a nod to former Imagineer and Disney legend Sam McKim, who helped influence the design of Frontierland. It's located in what was formerly called the Frontierland Shootin' Arcade, and it's going to follow a similar pattern to our other DVC lounges. So it'll feature comfortable seating for guests, the wireless internet, recharging stations for your electronic devices, and free beverages and snacks. Looking at the concept pictures that have been out on the internet, it looks very much in tune with Frontierland. It almost looks like an old saloon.
Yeah.
It also shows the stairway to the second level. And we're kind of hopeful that if there's a stairway to the second level, there may be an area for fireworks observation from there.
Yeah,
we don't know.
Fireworks. That's, yeah.
Yep.
Crossing our fingers.
Pure speculation, but
yep.
It would be nice.
We've been putting it out into the world since they announced the location. That would be a good reason to pay that $99 for the front of the line lounge, lounge access. If you could get up there for the parade, especially next summer, there's going to be a nighttime parade, right?
Yes.
You get up there, watch the nighttime parade, and we can dream, right?
We can. And Disney said, dreams do come true.
Yeah, true. Are you looking forward to the lounge in there?
I am. I think you need one over at Magic Kingdom, and I think it's a great place for it. It'll be a great respite on a very hot day. I'm sure that they'll be aligned to it. But as you said, you know, depending on what it is if they have a parade viewing on the second floor, then that would be really nice to pay the $99 and that extra fee and get to the front of the line.
I'm really hoping they make it a bigger space than the Epcot Lounge. Not that that's small, but like Magic Kingdom is going to have a lot more demand for this.
Definitely.
Epcot did. Not because Epcot doesn't have people in it, but that lounge is kind of out of the way a little bit.
Correct. Correct.
And this being in Frontierland right next to Adventureland, it's a pretty popular spot. It's kind of in the whole center of the western side of the park. I think there's going to be a lot more demand for it.
Oh, yeah. I agree. Definitely. So, Pete, I know that you were on the cruise last week. So when you came off, you heard about some major changes announced at Hollywood Studios.
You know, and what was funny is I didn't have the internet package, but my phone was still getting push notifications.
Uh-huh.
So I was getting like the beginning of sentences like, Muppets in Hollywood Studios moving to, and I was like, what? What's going on?
Where?
This was driving me crazy. But yeah, so our third story is major changes for the Muppets announced at Hollywood Studios. And fans of Muppet Vision 3D, which include myself, are in mourning with the recent announcement from last week. While we already knew about Monstropolis coming to Hollywood Studios, the location was yet to be determined. But Disney posted on the Disney Parks blog that Monstropolis will indeed be taking over the Muppet section of Hollywood Studios, including the 3D show where Pizza Rizzo is, as well as Mama Melrose. So that whole corner there between Star Wars and Star Wars, mm-hmm. between Star Tours and Star Wars. The concept art shows the area we're using a lot of the existing buildings for new shows and dining experiences. So we should probably expect Mama Melrose to become Harryhausen's from the first Monsters, Inc. movie.
Yep.
The new door coaster looks like it would be built behind the existing structures, which would mean kind of off into either what you would call backstage. There's not a lot of backstage there. It's more going into the parking lot. I think the reason people dread losing Muppet Vision 3D is because that was Jim Henson's last project before he passed away. And so it's really the last thing he ever did with the Muppets. It's an entertaining show. But it's not like when it first came out, it was very kind of cutting edge and everything like that. And now it's, you know, you go in and you have a few laughs and everything, but it's not anything spectacular that we're thinking are going to be missed. But I think there's just that historical aspect of it that people like. But as far as the Muppets go, on the bright side, they are going to stay at Hollywood Studios, and they will instead be evicting Aerosmith from Rocket Roller Coaster as the new hosts for the ride, making it the first ever Disney ride to feature the Muppets. And no word on which attraction Aerosmith will be moving to.
I hope it does. I miss the music.
Is it going to be the Muppets singing song? Like, is it going to be Muppet songs? Is it going to be Muppets covering rock songs? They haven't really said. They said new songs is all they've said. Not too long ago, there was a TV series called Muppets Mayhem that came out on Disney Plus, and it was all around Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem. And it was a pretty good show. I thought it was pretty funny, but it got canceled after one season. And it feels like this is maybe an extension of that, right? Because if you're going to keep it to like rock and roll themed, as I would think they would, it's going to rely on the Electric Mayhem. So it's kind of weird that they had a show and they canceled it. And then now they're going to take that show and kind of put it into the ride. But I think this can work. I think the Muppets can work. I think the Muppets can work anywhere.
Right.
I'm glad to see Disney try to figure out where to fit the Muppets, because they've really struggled with them over the years. What do you think, Sue?
No, I think you're right. It's sad to see it, like anything else. It's always sad to see an attraction close, like the Muppet 3D. And it was a place where it was cutting edge when it first came out. And it really is a neat show. But to your point, change is good. The Muppets have had different movies out. They've grown a lot from those days where the film that they had over in Muppet 3D, it's old and it's outlived its usefulness. Yes, it'll be sad. It was a great place to go and sit and relax in the cold and get out of the heat. But I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do with the Muppets on the Rock and Roller Coaster. Having the same type of track, having the same type of ride, but with a different twist to it. That's going to be interesting. And I think it's going to be more modernizing of the Muppets. I am sad to see the Aerosmith songs go. Don't know what kind of songs they're going to have, but I loved listening to Aerosmith from all those speakers in the car. I think it's going to be neat to see Monstropolis as a Monstropolis area and not just like over at Magic Kingdom, you have one attraction, but this is going to be dining. This is going to be shopping. This is going to have the attraction to it. I think that's going to be very interesting to see that happen.
Yeah, and they said they're going to use the theater too. So there's going to be something there. It almost makes me wonder, do they move the laugh floor over?
Ah.
Because it doesn't seem like it would be that hard to move it, right? I mean, it's mostly video. There's a few different things. They might have to change the seats or whatever.
But no, you're right. That could be moving that over and then replacing it over in the Magic Kingdom with something more futuristic.
Yeah, because, I mean, Tomorrowland's never been tops at actually making futuristic things in it necessarily. Right. Initially it was, but like of late. But if there's something that doesn't fit in Tomorrowland, it's the laugh floor.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I love the laugh floor, but I could see them, you know, they got this big theater and they've indicated they're going to keep it there and they're still going to have a show. Maybe you just move that over and put something new in Magic Kingdom. Maybe you have a different show, but it just seems like a lot to have a Monsters, Inc. show in two parks.
Right, right. Or even Monsters in both parks.
Yeah, they're not that popular, right?
Well, put them into one park, give them their own area, and have the attractions really highlight that part of the IP that Disney owns. And then, as you said, do something different over at Magic Kingdom.
I think the same thing with Buzz Lightyear, right? It's like you get this one ride. It feels a little old now, Buzz Lightyear. I mean, just the technology of it when you look at even Toy Story Midway Mania. But then you go to the new Spider-Man ride. If you've been out and done web slingers, like there's so much more modern shooting type rides like that. Anyways, we're just speculating now, which we usually don't do on the show, but... Maybe we move Monsters, the laugh floor over. We take that whole side of Tomorrowland and then also Stitch's Great Escape. We got a whole bunch of space there. We could put something.
That's right. That's right. Again, it is pure speculation.
Yeah, for sure. But we do know the earlier part we were talking about is all true. This was posted on the Disney Parks blog. Disney has confirmed it. That's the plans, is that Monstropolis is going where in the Muppets area. Everything beyond that, beyond the Hollywood studio stuff, that's all our speculation.
Sorry for getting off track. There are a few other DVC announcements, and these are quick little announcements, but if you happen to be going to Copper Creek Resort from May to September of 2025, keep in mind that DVC has announced that they're going to undergo their soft goods refurbishment during that time. Now, that's not a hardcore type of refurbishment, soft goods, blankets, pillows, mattresses, things of that nature.
Yeah, I think they may redo like carpets and things too.
Yeah, but they're not ripping out sinks, they're not ripping out bathtubs, that type of stuff. Another thing is that Murphy-style beds have been seen being installed at Bay Lake Tower, confirming their installation in the latest refurb. That I'm really excited about because the Murphy beds are so much more comfortable than the pull-out sleeper sofas. So that's going to be nice. Another announcement with Topolino's Terrace is closing for a short refurb from January 12th to the 25th of this coming year. So keep that in mind as well. And then as of November 19th, which was last week, bookings at the new Island Tower are open to all DVC members with rights to book at the Polynesian Resort. If you were on there, I've tried to get a reservation and haven't been able to at the new Poly Towers, but I think that they went quite fast. I'm hoping for a wait list for cancellation. The Disney Treasure has officially been christened and will be setting sail on its first itineraries out of Port Canaveral. They brought the ship over. It did come into Port Canaveral for its welcome, and then it went up to New York, and it was in New York City that they did the christening.
If you haven't,
if you haven't had an opportunity to see the christening, it is out there on YouTube. Just put in the christening of the Disney Treasure. And it was really a very, very nice show. They used a lot of drones in the show. This was done at nighttime, the christening. And it's something to see how they did the champagne to christen the ship so everyone could see it in the darkest of night. It was really nice. But the ship itself looks beautiful. I've set sail on all of the Disney cruise ships, some of them several times. I've been on the inaugurals of four of them. And will not be on the inaugural of this one, but I'm hoping to get on as soon as possible. It really looks spectacular to see the theming on it. And I love Disney. I love the Disney cruise ships, and I love the theming that they do in each one of their areas, especially in the adult bar areas. Those really are done well. I'm looking forward to it. The Destination D23 event has been announced at Walt Disney World, and it will be held August 29th to the 31st at Coronado Springs, with the event called Double in Size from previous ones held in Florida. This is going to be a very large event. We have a huge convention space over at the Coronado Springs, if you've ever been there. And with them moving from the Contemporary over to Coronado Springs, you know it's going to be extremely large this coming year. So plan on it. If you're a D23 person, remember it's going to be August 29th to the 31st. They should have some more news out for people to be able to get tickets for it. But I'm looking forward to that because it sounds like if the size is that big, they have to have some other announcements or updates on some of the new attractions and new park areas.
Yeah, I think we have so much coming in the next 4 to 5 years. I think that you're going to probably get a lot of additional details. The Animal Kingdom construction should be well underway by that time next summer. And you might even start seeing some of the other ones, the Hollywood Studios one, and maybe even closing down the Rivers of America and things like that. Yeah. So, you know, I think what we'll do is we'll get a lot more details in terms of the individual rides and things like that that are going to be coming, and probably even the Villains Land. I didn't put it in there, but there was an announcement at the Brazil D23 about a little bit about the Villains Land, and that they listed the villains that were going to be made up in the villains. There was like 13 villains. It wasn't really big enough news to put together an article about it. Unfortunately, yeah, lots of good stuff that probably, because Destination D23 in Florida is usually not a big deal. This one might be a bigger deal.
Yeah, I think so. Just changing the location to where it's going to be. And with all that space, they have to be doing something. And I'm kind of thinking that they may have some models, or they may even have some ride vehicles to show.
I bet they will. I bet they'll have a detailed mock-up of the Animal Kingdom, I would bet. Because that'll be well underway, certainly by next August.
Exciting news.
And you mentioned the Poly. I did manage, even though I was on a cruise, we were in port the day it opened up. I did actually pull two nights in a duo studio in April, the beginning of April. So a little ways, 2 weeks before Easter. I don't 100% know that I'm going to use it. I got to see if I can get a decent airline ticket to come down. But we wanted to, though I couldn't believe, two nights in a duo studio. It was preferred, so it was the high end, but it still was 62 points for two nights in the studio. Ouch. I was like, what? I mean, you just said 10 points at
stay 5 weeknights in September at the studio over at Old Key West.
Right, exactly. But we're not planning to go at all this year, so I got a lot of points, and it's like, well, I want to see the new resort. I want to see it. Yeah. We would come down. We won't have park tickets yet. We're not going to get an annual pass till next fall. It'll really depend on airfare. When I was looking today, it was still like 400 round trip. I was like, nope, not going to come if it's that. But if we can get a decent airfare around 250, something like that for that weekend, we might come down and just to check out the new resort. I mean, it'll be open a few months by that point, but still.
Check the airfare next week after Thanksgiving, after they have this like Cyber Monday. Yeah. I can't remember when, but I thought it's either Tuesday or Wednesday of that week that they generally drop some good airfares.
I'll keep an eye out. But with that, that's all the news we have. I'm not going to talk about my cruise because it was Royal Caribbean. So, you know, this is a Disney show. It's not a Royal Caribbean show. I'll just say that I had a good time. I had a good time on the cruise. So nothing against Disney cruising, but there are other cruise lines out there and they might cost a little less money. So that's why we were on Royal Caribbean. Yep. That's our next plan. Maybe in April for a couple of days and then working on it now, trying to book next October for Food and Wine. So that's going to start really soon. We're going to be booking that, but end of October. What about you, Sue? Any plans to go over to the parks?
Going over to the park next Monday, meeting some of my one niece and a great niece, and take them out to dinner over in Epcot on Monday. And so looking forward to it. Looking forward to the Candlelight Processional on the 3rd of December as well.
Oh, that's cool. Who are you going to see?
I can't remember. Oh. They start in This Is Us.
Oh.
And I can't remember her name.
Is it Chrissy Metz? Is that it?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, she's great. Yep. That'll be fun. Yep.
So I'm excited about that. I haven't seen Candlelight in a few years, so it's going to be fun.
Oh, and that's great. You can go and see things like Candlelight Processional and things like that. Yep. So very cool. All right. Well, with that, we're going to thank our sponsors from the world of DVC, and that is DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, and Monera Financial for their continued support of the MyDVC Points platform. If you want to get more involved with the DVC community, check out the MyDVC Points Facebook page or some of our other podcasts that are on the MyDVC Points network. Go to MyDVCPoints.com to check that out. And with that, I'm going to say goodbye, and it was great spending some time with you, Sue.
Great spending time with you, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too. And with that, we'll say bye, everybody.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.